Welcome, 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 everybody. It's the Purple Menace Podcast National Signing Day Spectacular.
Welcome to our biannual tradition now.
Version 2.0, basically.
What are we going to start calling Signing Day? Is this now the late Signing Day
this
and early
has to be
Signing
the
Day? Because nothing has lost this much luster since as quickly. There's got to be something that
it's
like,
crazy.
Was it really is. Popular and then... One thing happens and it's gone.
Happy days.
You think oh, jumping
they
shark?
The shark.
You think National Signing Day jumped the shark with December?
Basically, what happened?
But I think it jumped the shark for the better. Do you like this better
signing
or
day?
No?
No, I like it better in December.
Yeah,
I like too. It. I like it better. I'm sure some coaches don't. It
hashtag Nick Saban. I don't know why I hashtagged
well,
him.
Well, I mean, he still ended up getting. Well, I mean, he gets who he wants.
He doesn't like anything.
No, that's true.
Except for is it Coke that he's sponsored by? That's always on his podium, Coca-Cola?
Probably.
It's probably not good if you don't know what it is that he's sponsored by.
There you go.
This is a tight end.
He's such a happy guy. Nope, this is a tight end. All right, so TCU finishes the class with 22, which when we go back, if we went all the way back to the beginning of the season, we thought it was probably going to be 22-23.
Yeah, we're not overly surprised by this.
But we are surprised by a couple of the guys that we really thought we were going to get, we didn't get. And then there's a few guys that we got we didn't think we'd get, which is normal, right?
Yeah, normally there's a little bit of a back and forth, a give and take, if you will. But yeah, I think we got everything we expected yesterday. The one question mark was Vernon Jackson, mm-hmm. was like a total toss-up. There were a couple other guys that we mentioned and were like, well, they got a shot here, but we're not really confident in it.
Right.
But we all felt like Deshaun Corbin and Keandre Coburn, it's weird their names are pretty close together, We felt, all right, TCU's in it still.
Yeah.
Coburn signed, like, instantly, like, at 7:05 in the morning.
Right.
Which I had sort of heard, like, later that he'd like, pretty much made up his mind earlier this week. So it wasn't too much of a shock. Deshaun Corbin went a little late. He wound up at A&M. And Vernon Jackson went super late.
Super late.
Yeah.
Like he after, was expected to announce at, like, 1.
Yeah.
And it ended up being 7:30, 7:45 last night.
So – The rat race between UT, A&M, and TCU was on, and A&M won.
They won for Jackson. Yes.
They won for Jackson.
Overall,
yes.
the Longhorns got a phenomenal class. But
what does it mean?
Well,
put them number one next year or in 2 years or whatever.
Right. What does it mean? And also, if you look at their class and A&M's class and TCU's class, like TCU has the most balanced class.
Yeah.
When you look at it, like. I get the rankings are done because of how many stars and then overall point value that they tally all that up.
Right.
But if you're going to recruit.
Because there's a 4-star that could be ranked as like a 5.2 player.
Right.
And there's a 5.1 player and all that stuff. So there's a couple. If you look a little bit closer at the rivals rankings at least, there's even a further breakdown inside the stars. So
yeah. But when you recruit 6 guys of the same position and they're all 4-stars, it looks great for your overall numbers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But.
In reality, at least two of those guys will transfer within the next year. So
correct.
For UT we're talking about now.
Yes.
So it looks good on paper. They're ranked high again, which means their brand just got better for whatever that's worth. Now this year they're gonna go 6-6 again. And
those
what
lockers,
does that do?
Man, it's those lockers.
They look really cool.
Right. Doesn't help.
You can
win.
See all the highlights of their losses on there. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
What if they lose at Maryland week one?
Well, I mean it wouldn't be far off from last year.
No, they lost at home to Maryland week one this year. Texas is back. Anyway, enough about Texas and how they're going to go 6-6 for all of eternity.
I just love that they consistently get these great classes, and A&M does too.
But again, that leads to the debate. Do stars matter? And if you listen to anyone nationally.
It comes down to coaching.
And honestly, no. If you listen to people, okay. If you listen to national analysts, like people that work for, say, CBS or Fox, like actual people that watch game and call games and stuff, they will tell you that the stars don't matter, that it's all about coaching. Like, GP was ranked on someone's list of top coach. Luganville, was it Tom Luganville?
I think so, yeah. Number one guy.
Yeah, so he was ranked GP and Chris Peterson, these guys that are great coaches. D'Antonio, is he now damaged goods?
I was going to say, he was on, I remember
he was on the
list,
but I was like,
and I'm like,
that's Art Briles North now. Like,
if you're
I don't
going
know.
By just developing talent, yes.
Which I've always thought he's a really good talent developer now. Is he a shady person apparently now? Also true.
Probably.
But so But then you look at like the people that work for Rivals and 247, stars matter because Alabama's always number one. They're always in the playoff.
Yeah.
Georgia, or not always number one, they're always in the top five. And I saw some stats where, like, you have to be a top six recruiting class. No one's had a top six recruiting, not had a top six recruiting class that made the playoff the next year or something like that in the playoff.
That's insane.
Era. Yeah.
That's weird.
So,
okay.
In the what, 4 years of the playoff?
Yeah.
So, but it's been Alabama every year, Oklahoma two of those years, Clemson three of those years.
Yeah.
Washington snuck in there once, which I think they might have been the outlier because I don't think they get necessarily really great recruiting classes.
It wasn't that long ago that Clemson did not get good recruiting classes. Like Dabo turned it up.
Yeah.
And started getting
and
those
people
guys
like
to
Dabo.
Stay in, you know, and go to Clemson rather than going to Florida
mm-hmm.
and Florida State, because that's where those
you
kids
get,
would go.
You get maybe a Heisman finalist in Deshaun Watson, and he's also just a likable personality. And,
seems like it.
Yeah, so everything you haven't heard a negative thing about Deshaun Watson other than his knees are broken, but, like, overall seems like a good kid. Well, he's got two torn ACLs.
Yeah.
If you're a Texans fan, you got to feel good, but you don't really know. But so you look at Texas, right? The stars matter, right? So they're number 4 or 5 in the country in the recruiting class,
mm-hmm.
but they haven't won in 12 years,
right.
13 years.
And you look at Texas
even
Tech.
That win technically doesn't even count.
It's true.
So
you look at Texas Tech, who had the worst recruiting of all
Power Fives. It was Arizona State for most of the day.
Well, I mean, any kid who wants to go play for Herm Edwards, like, I see the luster of it, but he's not a college coach. That's going to be a horrible mistake for a lot of kids.
That's going to be a 1 year and out for Herm Edwards, I feel like. He's going to be like, I can't do this. I'm old.
Yeah, I can't do it. I don't even know what these kids are saying.
But
Texas Tech gets the worst recruiting class out of Power Fives, and their record compared to Texas next year will probably be one loss or win. You know,
I think Tech is going to be not bad next year.
But that's what I'm saying.
Like, kind of like their basketball team. They have a lot of seniors on defense.
Tech's
going to
have a horrible recruiting class, and they'll still finish within a game of Texas.
Right. They'll be 6-6, 7-5, 5-7.
Right.
There's your window for those two schools. So
we love recruiting. What we're going to do is we're going to break down the actual class and see how they fit. Because part of that, too, is TCU runs some things a little differently, especially a 4-2-5 defense. You're going to recruit more athletes and more defensive backs because of the 4-2-5.
That's what TCU has.
Than linebackers. And I think the 4-2-5 scares some big-time linebackers off because they don't think they're going to get the
There's
puck.
There's only two linebackers, and you're like, you know, I'm afraid of competition. I'm going to go to Texas. So, yeah.
So,
is that not what you were thinking? Is
no.
That,
I mean,
what you're thinking? Okay.
I do think it's kind of that.
Yeah.
So let's not even – we don't need to take any breaks. Let's just dive right into this.
Call my dad if you want to do your taxes. There you go.
At Purple Menace,
972-672-9968. There you go, Dad.
Done. So you want to go defense side or offense first?
I don't know, man.
Let's go offense.
All right, cool.
Because let's start with the guy who we think is going to lead this team.
Justin Rogers.
Quarterback Justin Rogers out of
Bossier City,
Louisiana.
6'4", 200 pounds listed. Yeah, he's the shining star. He's the one that – he's the leader, right? I mean, you want that from your quarterback. He's the kid that raises money to fight domestic violence at his high school. He's the guy that you want all your kids
leadership.
To be. Yeah, leadership, character guy, and just a fantastic arm, fantastic talent. The issue, again, is his knee. I see a lot of questions. Is he going to redshirt this year? I would bet all the money that I have,
I was gonna
which
say,
is $0. But if all the cash I have in my pocket, I would bet that he does not take a snap.
Because that's what
this
we
year.
Can kind of say about some of these guys is where do we see them playing this year, next year? The Rogers should redshirt this year.
It
just
makes sense. Like, he's on campus now. We get it. He's learning. But that was a horrific injury that happened eight months ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6-7 months ago. It's just it's
don't rush
tough.
It, man.
Don't rush. And you like Sean Robinson. He was good in his time at Tech against Tech last year. And I was talking about that game with someone the other day. Like, if you look at his numbers, we had 73 passing yards. It was some low number like that. But there was a catch by Snell that he didn't make that mm-hmm. he should have caught.
It was 40 yards.
Jalen Reger had a catch that, like, one toe landed just like an inch out of bounds that could have been a touchdown. I don't know, an inch here or there, that's how people win Super Bowl and stuff like that. But we liked what we saw in his little bit of tootie.
Yeah, and we liked the style of play they were playing
right,
in that game.
Right. Let him run.
Let him run.
Now the issue is what happens if he gets banged up again and gets hurt because he's
a little bit fragile. That's where the Rogers thing comes into this. If Robinson's healthy and you feel comfortable with your backups, which are, we are assuming is going to be Michael Collins and Grayson Muhlstein, if those are your two guys and you feel comfortable about them, then, yeah, Rodgers will take that red shirt and he will sit the whole year precautionary-wise. If you don't and Rodgers is close, then I could see the red shirt going if Robinson got hurt. But it would have to be like
– I am so afraid of – and that's why I'm not a good athlete, because I'm afraid. But I'm so afraid of Rodgers getting out there and not being fully stable that you hurt his career
right
for a couple games in 2018.
Right, we want the 3 to 4 years, right. Not the the 2 games right. Or something.
There's potential of him being like an early draft pick, of being the next Andy Dalton. Like he's got that kind of it's weird to say talent and say oh it's Andy Dalton because he's hit a ceiling in the NFL. I think we all agree, right? But he's very much. I don't know if Russell Wilson. I don't know. I can't even think of like a good comp.
I was going to say, when I think of hype, I think of Casey Paul-Hall. Because you had Dalton here, and everybody was like, we got Casey. He picked us over Notre Dame and Alabama and all this stuff. And then Casey came in and produced.
The same thing happened with Foster Sawyer, though. He picked TC over.
But Casey came in and produced.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, like Casey sat
but
for
I'm
a
trying
year.
To think, what's a good NFL comp for Justin Rodgers? The easy one is just say Russell Wilson, but I don't think that's fair.
No, because he's
Mariota?
Similar, but I think he's a better – I think he's an overall better
passer. Just a better passer.
Yeah.
Again, for a guy that we haven't seen play in almost 2 years. But I think he's –
I think he might just be Justin
Rodgers. He's not because you're gonna look at him and it's gonna be the race thing. You're like, oh, he's a black quarterback. He's just gonna run. It's not his case. He's more of a pocket guy.
No, I'm
he's
just
a
thinking
pocket
of
guy who can move.
And I'm thinking of like a lean, like a slender guy. People will hate this, but if you think of it college wise, Blake Bortles makes sense of what Bortles did at UCF. Like he threw the ball, but he would run it.
Yeah.
And he'd pick up big chunks of yards. Like, I could see that. It was a passing offense, and then when he needed to run, he gets the yards type of situation. He's a similar – you know, Bortles is a bigger guy.
Yeah. Well, Rodgers is a little bit slimmer than Bortles is.
Well, Roethlisberger, when he was in college, he was, you know, 6'6", 215, 220, and now, you know
– he was still like a
Ben
big
Big
dude.
Ben's like 280 yeah. now. But, yeah. yeah, I mean, he's that style because
he's like a Tom Brady type.
That's the thing we've always been enamored with Rodgers is the touch he has on the football.
Right, right. Like it's how he throws it. It's not the wheels.
He's got zip when he zips it, and he's got touch when he needs it, and he throws it. I mean, he puts the ball where
it
needs to be.
We've said it. It sounds different coming off of his hand when he throws. It just sounds different than other quarterbacks. So
there's your Justin Rodgers. He's going to lead this class. Running back. Fabian Franklin out of Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yeah, flipped him from Mississippi State when their coach left. I already forgot his name. He's at Florida now.
Dan Mullen.
Yeah, whenever Dan Mullen quit. Power guy, 5'11", 207. Picked TCU, obviously over Mississippi State, a bunch of other SEC schools too. And do you think this is going to kind of lead to TCU going a little more running heavy? Like we saw some more this year?
I could see him getting on the field day one as well. I mean, I know he won't be here until the fall, but I could see him being immediately jumping in behind Anderson and Shewo and being that third guy because he's already got the size. Like Snell's going to have the experience, but Franklin's got the size. Now, he may not. He may redshirt. They may have to do some things with him.
Yeah,
it may take a while to get acclimated. But
with the depth you have there of Anderson, Shewo, and then I guess you don't really have, you sort of have Snell, but you're not really confident in him in the backfield. That's kind of your depth.
Unless I thought about this. If you use Snell to hit what his talents are, which is that burst and that track speed, you run him in sets where you're putting him behind an H-back or even Shewo on some of these runs, and you let him hide. Let Shewo be a battering ram and hit somebody, and then Snell turns the
so
jets
you're turning
on.
Shewo into a fullback.
Which is probably, I mean, I think he can run the ball, but if you can get him on the field using these two-back type systems, he can run the ball and he can show scouts like, oh, I can block. I can catch. We've seen Shewo catch.
Yeah, like, I'm just worried about Shewo, like, quote-unquote, wanting to do that. He likes to get on the field when he gets touchdowns. He had a big bowl game.
He wants to play in the NFL. You got to show you can do it all.
No, that's true.
I mean, a lot of guys don't
like to
pick up the blitz.
He's physically built enough to play running back in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, he's built enough. He just got to get his mind right.
So it comes down to how they expect to use these backs. But I think we are going to see them run the ball a lot more. And that's where Franklin fits the system, right up the gut on these zone reads.
I could see him playing. I could see him playing, especially since you never know when Darius is going to get hurt again. Like, it's sad, but He does seem to get banged up quite a bit. So
and like we said, Franklin's already got the college body.
Yeah.
Like he's already physically there. So you got Rodgers at quarterback, Franklin at running back. Now let's go down the list of the six wide receivers.
I mean, we talk about who you want to call receiver too. Like you can, some of these guys are interchangeable,
right? And we've said some of these guys we think are going to play pretty quick. Other guys are going to redshirt. Some guys may come in as receivers and never actually be a wide receiver. Let's start with the guy that we think is the blue chipper out of this, Tavalence Hunt.
Yeah, man. I think he's going to be the guy that I think fans have already bought into him.
Right. I think the coaching staff's been hyping him.
You just look at your computer right now.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a big Tavalence Hunt picture on there. Big fans of him. Good kid. Got to meet him at the camp in July. Really good head on his shoulders. According to GP, like I don't know this whole background, but he apparently had some rough upbringing a little bit. He hasn't quite gotten the whole detail on that, but GP says it's a kid everyone's going to love. So.
Yeah, he's up there on the character level with Justin Rodgers, like a guy who takes nothing for granted and will come in here and outwork people. He has the talent, but he was still work, which reminds me of Josh Doctson's way of approaching things. Like Josh came in, you know, transferred in, had the walk-on mentality, was the walk-on, but he worked his way to get on the field and then kept working and kept getting better. So Tavalence Hunt, we really like him. Tay Barber, who's already here, and he's already impressing people. Out of Houston.
Houston area kid. Yeah, he's another guy that is this your man crush of the class? You've talked about him a lot.
I really like Tay Barber because I like his flexibility. Yeah. I think Rodgers hadn't gone hurt, obviously he's the guy we would all be hyping.
Well, yeah, it's almost not fair to put the quarterback in
We saw Tavalence Hunt at a camp against other guys who are current TCU commits, so we know we're going to be pretty good. And we've seen Hunt, and at that camp, like what impressed us the most is we were there watching Slade Bolden.
Yeah.
And we came away talking about Tavalence Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw John Stevens doing his thing, but Tavalence Hunt was just so explosive in everything he did. Tay Barber, we haven't seen him in person, but if you watch what he did through 4 years of high school, playing quarterback, running back, and receiver, you can see why they love this kid. And when we had Chris Gardner on, you know, way back, he was talking about him as a potential safety because he was also a really good defensive player. He's coming here. He's going to play receiver. He's probably going to be in the slot. I could see them running jet sweeps. I mentioned before, I could see him being a tailback in this system because he's already here in the spring, so maybe he just gets some reps there and it sticks. But he's done it. He's played quarterback, running back, and receiver.
He's just an athlete that can do everything.
And he's a guy you want to have the ball in his hands, and he gives you some flexibility because he can throw. So it's that trickeration we've seen more and more of. Cumbie likes to throw these things more and more now. We've seen Turpin throwing passes, Nixon throwing passes.
Dez White finally threw a touchdown.
So Tay Barber brings that. I'm really excited about Tay Barber as well, and the fact that he's here and we'll get to see him in the spring. That really gets me ready to go. So you got Hunt and Barber. Let's go with a track speed guy, a guy that we had listed as an athlete or defensive back. I'd mentioned the whole time I've been talking to him, they've said, they told them from day one, we want to use you like Turpin. Darius Davis out of West Feliciana.
He is just another Turpin, right? He's like the fastest kid in Louisiana.
Except he's already bigger than Turpin, which is – that's also great.
Well, yeah, so hopefully less of an injury risk. And we saw Turpin this year have some off-the-field issues, let's call it. GP mentioned several times that he needs to get his act together. I think off the field that he means classroom stuff. So I think getting that act together, if you bring in a guy that says, all right, Turpin, go to school or Darius is taking your spot.
Yeah, Darius Davis is the Louisiana State 200 and 400 meter champion.
Yeah, literally the fastest guy in Louisiana. We weren't lying about that. He's the fastest athlete in Louisiana.
Yes.
Yeah.
5'9", 160. He's going to play slot receiver. And we've mentioned before in the past, it's his ability to return kicks as well. Like he is.
Well, there's a bunch of returners between him and also like Hadari Caesar is another guy that can just return kicks.
And you also have Rager and Snell already there.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, again, we talked about this class, and it's just all athletes, man. It's just, all right, you're an athlete, get in here. And so these guys can do it all.
Hunt's an outside receiver, but he could probably play in the slot and give you a little more size there. Because if you think that Rager and Manning are going to be your outside guys, Hunt's backing up one of those. But they rotate guys, so, I mean, even though you're not a starter, you're still getting reps. I could see Hunt either being behind Rager or behind Manning but still getting a lot of snaps. I could still see him in the slot because we saw him making those cuts and the routes he ran. he can do that, and that's a thing Cumbie wants, is a little more size in the slot as well. Darius Davis will be a slot guy. Tate Barber's going to be a slot guy. Well, on the outside, Bryson Jackson.
I was about to say Bryson Jackson's probably where you're going next. Yeah, 6'1", 170, baseball player also. Like,
yeah.
Baseball player, football player. We talked about him.
And he tried to graduate high school early so he could be here for baseball season now, but that didn't end up happening. So he won't be here until the fall. So he won't be trying to juggle too many things at once, like doing the baseball and football practice. It'd probably be a little bit easier that he's coming in the fall and he can just focus on football for the fall. And then work on baseball fall camp instead of being in the thick of baseball season and trying to get to spring practice and learn things.
What do you think he's going to have a better career at?
Baseball.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I think he's going to be a major league center fielder. I think he's that level of talent when it comes to baseball. I think he's a really good football player as well, but I think the long run.
I also think there's just so much depth at receiver that maybe he realizes, hey, I'm not getting as much run as I am on the football field. Let me just stay at Lupton. And just keep going to Omaha every
Makes
year.
Sense, too.
That's right. I mean, that's what I would do, too.
It's a nice fallback.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that I'm not getting as many passes thrown to me on the good football team, but I'm still, you know, playing a lot baseball, and I get to take really cool trips and get a bunch of swag, too. So, yeah, Bryson Jackson, he's an outside receiver, another guy with some size, definitely got speed.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of size on the outside, you want to go John Stevens next?
Let's do it.
6'4", 205 at least. Big man. He's a big guy. Again, you and I have been clamoring all year to put him on defense.
Yes, because I just look at his frame, and he's got the frame to add bulk easily. Yeah. But he's a good receiver. He runs good routes. He goes and gets the ball, which is something they've needed. I could see him being a guy that probably gets on the field in some form or fashion as a true freshman as well, because we have seen, if you look at his tape, he was a really good defensive end in high school. I think he's a guy that gets on the field immediately as a special teams guy.
Right. No, he's definitely going to play us on this year in some way, shape, or form. And just, again, you can say all you want about the genes, too. Like, he's all athletes in his entire family.
Yeah, dad was an NFL running back and made a Pro Bowl. His sister is a tennis champion.
You might have heard of Sloane Stephens.
Yeah.
His mom ran track. Was a track champion, too. So he's just an athlete, man, all through and through. Again, we like to see him play defense. Maybe he has a good year on special teams, and suddenly they realize, you know what, we're just going to put him there. So,
yeah.
Speaking of good genes, how about Chase Van Wagener?
Yeah.
His mom was a Cowboys cheerleader.
6'1", 180 pounds out of Lucas Lovejoy.
Yep, local
kid. Smartest guy on the team?
Yeah, because he had offers from insert Ivy League school here and Stanford, I believe. So, I think it's easy to say he probably had the best SAT scores in this class.
And Rodgers is no dummy either, because he was offered by Harvard as well.
I'm not saying that's also true. Yeah, Rodgers did have a Harvard offer. Not knocking any of the other guys, but the fact that he was down to basically Ivy League or TCU is impressive. Yeah. So,
Chase Van Wagener, he's another guy I think is an outside receiver. Got some good speed, got good hands. Mm-hmm. Played against good competition, so you know he can play. He's not one of these small school guys. So, another high character guy. The depth that they've put together in this class, I mean, if you're going to keep running these four wide receiver sets, now they're you can have packages for certain receivers who excel at certain things. It's kind of the Patriots way of doing things. They have guys that only are in certain packages, and they're just really good at that one thing.
And they have guys that only steal signals, and they have guys that only deflate footballs, and they have guys that only lose Super Bowls.
But you know what I'm saying. See a situation where, you know, first down, it's Rager, Turpin, you know, Manning on the outside, and insert whatever slot receiver or tight end in the slot. And then the next play or two plays later, they bring a whole nother group out there, and it's John Stevens on the outside, Bryson Jackson on the outside, Van Wagner, you know, in the slot.
I would love to see an all-go package.
Of all the bigs?
Sure. Just all your fastest guys. Let them run. All right, the play's over. They all just run off the field, and you bring in just the next four guys off the side right there and run it again.
So you would put, just for S's and G's, you'd put Darius Davis and Kevontae Turpin and Jalen Rager and Kennedy Snell and just say, go.
Go, yep. Say it's an incompletion, right?
Yes.
But they go from their own 20 to the other 20. They just run off the field at that 20-yard line. Insert from the other 20-yard line, boom, you have your John Stevenses, you
Bryson
have,
Jackson,
you have your Valen Hunts.
Nigel Meeking.
Just slide on in.
Is that a dumb idea? Ever tried that.
Is that a dumb idea?
No.
I don't think so.
Let's do it on the first play
of
every game.
Just gas them. Why not?
First play
of
every game.
What do you have to lose?
Not a whole lot.
Because they stay on the field, they get tired, you're just gassing them.
Another guy that I think can stretch the field in the way that you're talking, tight end, Pro Wills.
Yeah, this is the guy that we're waiting for a tight end, right? Like, we've been waiting for a guy to step up and be a guy that can really contribute at tight end, because it just hasn't happened in recent years. You get all these guys like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be good. This guy's going to be good.
Like, we loved Cole Hunt, but he was a blocker.
Right.
He was not a guy that had the greatest of hands.
No.
Artavius Lynn is huge, but we've seen not the greatest of hands.
No hands.
Pro Wells is the opposite. This is more of a big receiver at 6'4", 235. Mm-hmm. Former basketball player out of Miami.
Those tend to turn into pretty good tight ends.
That's worked out.
Have you heard of Jimmy Graham? Have you heard of Antonio Gates?
But his blocking's not bad. Like, right, that's right. The thing about him is he's already he does block pretty well. So it'll be interesting to see how he transitions from the junior college level or community college level to Division I at TCU. Yeah. But he's here already. You know, he's going to get to dive right in there right away, and it'll be interesting to see how Sonny Cumbie and Curtis Looper use him.
Yeah, watching his tape, he's just a man amongst boys, right. like on every level and every facet. So would like to see what he can do here at the next level. So where do you go next, O-line?
Offensive line. Here's where it gets real big. Let's start with JUCO.
The biggest?
The biggest. Yep. Anthony McKinney.
He is a large human being, 6'8", 330. I've already tabbed him as the most important member of this class. If TCU wants to be successful in 2018,
yeah,
he has to, because you lose four offensive linemen. You need someone that can come in and play right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a guy that should be able to do it. He's built like a guy that can come do that.
Yeah, and then you're talking about offensive tackles being McKinney and Lucas Niang, who's not small.
Nope, there's a lot of size there.
Big guy, wrestling background, we really like that. He's already used to playing leverage and throwing guys around, so we'll see
good
how
footwork.
Anthony McKinney, if good footwork, we'll see how he establishes himself here early in the spring. I've already heard good things about both Wells and McKinney in the weight room already. They're guys that get after it.
Oh, I'm not at all surprised. You got that Night of Champions coming up in a couple weeks, too. So.
I know, and I want to go to that just because I want to see how much weight Wes Harris throws up and Ty Summers.
Yeah, I bet it's a lot.
And Ross Blacklock.
That's like open to the public, right? We can just go and watch that, right?
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. Let's keep it local. Esteban Avila.
Yeah, so keeping that pipeline going of Grand Prairie. We'll get another Grand Prairie guy here in a second. 6'4", 308.
You love this kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, you love that he's local, but he's already the size at 6'4", 308, mm-hmm. coming out of high school. It's not what we're used to with offensive linemen here.
Well,
it's
always
been a 2 or 3 year process of bulking them up.
Yeah, and I had a radio interview yesterday for ESPN Central Texas, and they were talking about the size and the height. Was that you that set that up? Okay. I was like, man, it's a random text. I guess you couldn't do it because of basketball. Yeah. And they were talking about the size. Like, yeah, it's all about coming out of the Mountain West and trying to – you're still kind of have those effects, right? Like, mm-hmm. you still – even though all those guys have graduated and been gone by now, it's still trying to get size that matches up with Oklahoma, who are just giants.
Right. It took Brady Foltz and Jamel Naff 3 years to get on the field. Like, they redshirted a year, still 2 years of bulking up, and then they were two-year starters.
Yeah.
And we kind of – Joseph Noteboom, it was a redshirt year and about half of his freshman year, and then he got on the field because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of the guys, I mean, they were sitting for a couple years and then they got their shot. So now we're seeing guys that are physically – they look like they're ready to go, and it'll just come down to technique and how they run the schemes. And Chris Thompson, the offensive line coach, is a big part of this as well. Like, he – has already done amazing things in one season with the offensive line. Now he's recruiting guys he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to pay big dividends as well.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're expecting a big year to several years from the offensive line. So.
Let's go Ian Burnett, who might be the meanest guy on the
offensive
line. Yeah,
that's the guy I think we've pegged as being like the best of the freshmen offensive linemen, as being the guy that can be the most aggressive and bulldogish, if you will, offensive lineman. Most physical.
6'4", 305.
But again, watching him play at Wimberley, Texas, he's the biggest by about a foot and 100 pounds at that level. Can he do that here? It's another question I've had. Like, Avila is the one guy, I think, on this offensive line class, if I recall, that played against, like, higher
Division
level,
one,
five A level talent. Yeah. The other guys, like, we're going to get to Chris Dyke here in a second from Van, another small area. So, and he's another giant dude, 6'6", 285. I think he's a little bit bigger than that now. Another guy that just mauled the smaller, less talented guys that he played against.
Yeah, and that's the risk of offensive line. I think at any level, you look at the NFL, and you think you're going to take the guys from the Alabamas and Wisconsins, they're going to be plug-and-play guys, and they're not that good, maybe because they were playing with four other good players, and you see the under-the-radar Division III, you know, offensive guard who ends up being an all-pro for 10 years.
No.
You
who,
see the
who
opposite
you, who
effect,
you thinking
too.
Of specifically?
What?
Who were you thinking of? Was
well,
that,
I mean,
was
it's Larry
person?
Allen,
okay.
Obviously. Larry Allen at Sonoma State, recruited by Coach P. I mean, maybe the greatest offensive guard of all time
yeah,
in the
probably.
NFL. And his watching him in the Pro Bowl that year throwing up 30-some-odd reps on bench is just
disgusting.
Wasn't
it fun to see that? People,
and he also
why can people watch the Pro Bowl?
He benched 700 pounds, too, yeah, which is disgusting.
Terrifying.
It's just disgusting. But you see it all the time. So, and Patterson, to his defense on this, too, he's always recruited these big old giant guys out of small towns, and it's worked.
Yeah.
Because offensive line's another one. If you look at TCU's track record of sending players to the NFL, it's offensive linemen
right,
and defensive
right.
linemen.
Right, look at the Super Bowl. There were two offensive linemen playing.
Correct.
There were three of the final four teams had offensive linemen from TCU on it.
And none of those guys was highly touted coming out of high school. They were not big-name guys. They were
But, yeah, that's the they thing. The they right haven't fit. Gotten, like who was the high – I guess McKinney is now, but the highest-rated offensive lineman TCU's ever gotten.
I think he's the only four-star
Yeah, the only four-star
gotten.
Lineman ever.
Yeah.
They almost got Braden Smith, and he went to Auburn.
Mm-hmm. And that worked out well for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's they find the right guys that fit to do what they want to do. And, again, the offensive line has changed a little bit how they do things, because when it was Meacham, it was more of a zone-blocking scheme, and now with Thompson, it's more of a man-blocking, like, you're going to outwork the other guy. Mm-hmm. We're going to out-physical you. If that's a thing, out physical.
Yeah, yeah, it works. It
yes.
works here.
I'm be more aggressive. So Chris Dyke is 6'6", 290 out of Van. Another big guy, probably projects as a tackle at 6'6", because the other guys are, you know, Burnett and Avila are 6'4". And then our last guy, this is the guy that's probably the center of this class, the center.
Literally.
Like, literally the center. John Lands out of Denton Geyer.
Mm-hmm.
6'3", 295.
Yeah, like him a lot, too. Sort of followed the... He went to Denton Geyer, which is where Patrick Morris is from.
Sean Robinson.
And Sean Robinson. But, yeah, Sean Robinson was there, then went to DeSoto. So get that pipeline going a little bit from Denton Geyer. It's another quality program. They usually make deep playoff runs. At least they did until TCU took all their players. So.
And this was a guy that played offensive tackle for 4 years, but he's probably a center
probably
here.
Probably a center.
And it's what we saw last year was they're getting smaller in the middle. 6'2", 6'3", centers and guards, 6'4", maybe. And then their tackles are these massive bookends at 6'6", 6'8".
I like how you're saying smaller at 6'4". And
well, for this offensive line class.
Yeah, yeah. But I think about you as a person
as a 5 foot nine.
Yeah, as a
yeah,
five.
I look at Darius Davis, and we're looking eye to eye, and they're like, man, he's the tiniest guy on the team. And
well,
I'm like,
see, that's how I felt about – I still feel this way about Desmond Bane on the basketball team. I go, man, that's a little guy looking at him on the court. And I realize, wait a minute, when I interview him, I'm eye to eye with him.
Yes.
Like, and I'm a large person.
Yes.
We can play the drop. Yeah. yeah, I'm a big dude. I'm like the same height as Desmond Bane. So it's crazy to think about that.
It's, yeah. I mean, it's football.
Size.
That's
how,
I mean,
that's how measurements work. Metric system be darned.
It's football. So there's your look at your offensive class. That's a pretty respectable class there.
Yeah. Was that. Does the bulk of the class on offense? Like, I'm just trying to remember. I feel like there's a lot of offensive guys. We
yeah,
added defensive guys
six,
yesterday.
Six receivers, five linemen. There's 11, quarterback, running back, tight end. So yeah.
14 of your 22.
So we'll
but yesterday you signed a defensive back, a linebacker.
A defensive end.
A defensive end. There's one more, right? Wouldn't they get four guys yesterday? Oh, Darius Davis. I forgot.
Yeah.
He hadn't officially signed, but he's going to commit forever. Yeah.
Yes, so we'll flip over to the defensive side. Let's stay on the defensive line. So we talked about the Hog Mollies on the offensive side. Let's look at defensive line, and let's go with the newest guy, Isaiah Falikatonga out of Euless.
You always like the kids from Euless. Always a really good program, especially it might sound easy comp to make, but the Tongan guys, they work hard. They're real strong.
Yeah, and Falikatonga, 6'2", 237.
So he's
injured, missed most of last year. He's probably not 237 pounds right now. He's probably in the 260 range, but it's like that bad weight that you don't like from not playing, which in this case I think is an advantage for him because he's got that fatty weight on him now, and they're going to turn that into muscle, which is a lot easier than just trying
he's
to
been
add.
Cultivating mass. I know
correct.
You're a Toy Sunny fan. So.
Yes, he's cultivating. He's been cultivating mass.
Yeah, so I think, but he's another guy that on the defensive line, since you have Banigou coming back, you don't necessarily need him right now.
Right, he's like, probably a redshirt
right.
guy.
He's a bit, especially
coming off of a knee.
Right, a bit of a project guy too.
Or
so.
Ankle. What? Yeah, I think it was
leg.
Ankle. Yeah, lower body injury.
Let's go hockey on this.
But yeah, Foley Katanga's a guy that we like. That you've already for all the things you've already mentioned, and that's the quote from Dan Sharp is, you know, he's got good explosiveness and burst off the line, shows natural power to set the edge and rush the passer.
Oh, set the edge. That's the big slogan this year.
Set the edge. So
set the edge and RPO. If you watched any NFL game this year, you heard all those things.
Yes. And Foley Katanga was a guy that TCU identified early in the process. He was one of their first offers.
Yep.
TCU has always been high on his list, but then OU came calling and some other guys, and then he got hurt, and one team still recruited him. Others trailed off, and really – I think TCU caught a break by him getting injured.
Yeah, we see this a lot where OU tends to suddenly find guys about 2 days after TCU finds guys.
Mm-hmm.
TCU offers them, and then suddenly, oh, OU, we're going to offer them too. So another case there that worked out well for TCU.
Now here's a guy that we really haven't talked a lot about, and I think it's because he's such a quiet guy. He doesn't have a big social media presence, but this is a guy I do see getting on the field as a true freshman.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
O'Shawn Mathis.
Yeah, just a monster dude, 6'4", 6'5", 230, is that what he's listed at?
6'5", 235. I think that 235 is almost misleading because this guy's a powerlifting champion.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of the reverse of what we were talking about with Foley Katanga. He probably has that bad weight. Mathis doesn't have
no bad weight.
He's going to be one of those guys when you see him in warm-ups or you see him walking across campus, if you're just a student, you're going to be like, who's that guy? I mean, we're talking chiseled, just ridiculously strong guy. And he's a guy I could see working his way in there very soon. He fits the mold of what Patterson likes, just a guy who's just going to go in there and maul guys. And he may not be a guy that gets immediately as a freshman or sophomore gets a lot of sacks, but he's a guy that gives you 5-10 snaps and just
gives you depth and quality depth too. You're going to get good minutes, I guess, as they say in the NBA. But yeah, he's a guy that's going to play some right away, and we like him a lot.
Lean and fast, good first step, and hand usage allows him to get to the quarterback on a regular basis.
Are these quotes put on everybody? You're just been ignoring the quotes on everybody?
Yes, I have.
Oh, cool. Those have been a nice addition.
Well, we knew so much about some of these other guys.
Right,
but
right.
Still, offensive and defensive linemen, it's so hard to assess what TCU really looks for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we talked about, too. TCU looks for certain qualities in guys. When it comes to the 4-2-5 defense, your ends are about, you know, I'd say an extra half yard wider than you would in a traditional 4-3, and your linebackers tend to be a little smaller, a little faster because they got to go sideline to sideline. So the guys that we recruit for our ends and linebackers and really even safeties they have to be these hybrid types, and there's certain things that Dan Sharp, Gary Patterson, Chad Glasgow, and all those guys are looking for. So, yes, I'm using the quotes to help me sound
smarter.
No, it's smarter.
Fine. It's fine. Random question. Do you smell hamburgers? This isn't even a joke. I just randomly smell hamburgers right now. I have nowhere to go with that.
I don't
char-grilled burger meat.
But okay.
Maybe it's just that it's 12:30 or 12:07 and it's lunchtime in here. Maybe I want to smell hamburgers.
I don't smell hamburgers, but okay.
All right. Carry on.
Yes, there's your two defensive linemen. And Foley Katanga is a guy that I think they see a guy who could be similar to Mike Tuaua in you can slide him inside from occasion and get that inside rush on some of these, you know, third down pass rush specialty things where O'Shawn Mathis, I think, is strictly a defensive end. Foley Katanga will be a guy they probably
can
find a spot for because of how he uses leverage and that explosiveness, like they talked about, that raw power, that Tongan power, you called it.
Hey, I didn't use that phrase specifically.
Well, that's what we're
going
to go with, okay. Tongan power.
Tongan power, activate.
Let's go over to the West Coast, and let's go linebacker Ben Wilson.
Ben Wilson, just explosive, electric, lays a hitting on people, right? He probably led all of Washington in tackles.
Yeah,
probably.
I would say that's okay.
I think I saw that stat somewhere.
It's a fair assessment.
Dude just hit people. Also played running back and did the and like
ran for 6 touchdowns and 250
yards. I think he's asked GP to play running back some here. Probably not going to happen.
Interesting though, could he be a goal line H-back?
I don't hate it.
Or tied third tight end. You don't have Garrett Altman to run out there.
It's true. Oh, to drop a 2-point conversion. Wilson could probably handle a 2-point conversion.
He was
play.
As close as Tom Brady on that catch.
It's true, like literally exactly as close. Yep.
But what I like about both our linebackers, Ben Wilson and who we're going to talk about next, Jacoby Simpson, these are guys that were high school linebackers. These are not converted guys. These are guys who already have the size. Right. 6'2", 220 on Wilson.
We say Wilson played running back, but he was primarily a linebacker that was just the most athletic guy on his team. So looks like Sunshine. You'll think fondly of Matt Boston when you see him play.
Yeah, he's got the golden
long
locks.
Hair.
The golden locks.
I don't know if he's going to braid them up like and put beads in them like Boston would, but we'll see.
Hey, man, your teammates have a lot of say in what you do as a freshman, too.
I don't – yeah. Oh, he might be shaved head.
You can't do that anymore. Can't make them do it. Tasing.
You can urge them to.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
It'd be really cool if you shaved your head, bro.
Exactly. And Wilson and Simpson fit the 4-2-5 defense because Wilson's probably going to be your outside linebacker, whereas Jacoby Simpson, 6'2", 225, more the traditional
just
middle.
Traditional middle inside linebacker. Just
stick
just
your
hits
nose
people,
in
man.
There.
Yep. Just go hit somebody, right?
Like I said, Marcus Mallett.
That's, yep.
A lot of people were saying Paul Dawson. I think that's just the 47 you see in all these pictures.
Yeah. But no, I think you might have said that a couple weeks ago about Mallett, and I see that too when I think about
just
it.
Just a guy who's smart, good linebacker who's going to get his nose in there on every play. Now, he may not be making the play, but right. He's going to affect it. And sometimes it's the 1/11th, too. Sometimes you got to have a guy that's the battering ram, almost like a fullback on defense. Mm-hmm. He goes and sees, let's say it's Wilson and Simpson, the linebackers, and the plays run to Simpson's side. His job is to go take on that lead blocker and let Wilson make the tackle. And if it's run the other way, it's Wilson, it's not always about tackles. It's about getting where you need to be and setting it up to make the play for somebody else.
The Cavs just traded Dwayne Wade to the Heat.
Oh, what?
So Cleveland's falling apart. They traded Isaiah Thomas like 10 minutes ago.
That's really, really random. All right, here we are. We're in the final stretch. It's time to talk about the defensive backs of this class. This is where I think we see, just like an offense with the receivers,
the
we're seeing the most
fluidity.
Athletic guys.
Well, yeah, but also they don't really have a role per se.
No, and they'll bring him in as defensive back, and that could mean corner, weak safety, free safety, some strong safety possibly.
I think it still could mean slot receiver on some of these guys. Like
or,
Ardarius Washington.
Or running back. Let's Washington.
So listed, what's he listed at on Go Frogs? 5'8", 175. I'll take the under on both. Like he's Kevontae Turpin, man.
He was a guy that we talked about a long time ago as being a possibility as a tailback here because he's just a dynamic playmaker with the ball in his hands. TCU recruited him as a I'm thinking as a safety.
Yeah, I can't see him playing safety, right? He's too small.
But I mean, he could be corner. He's got the speed. I can see him doing both corner or weak safety because weak safety is almost like a nickel corner. And that's where I think that's where he fits the best in this system is weak safety because sometimes you play him deep.
He fits the best on offense.
You think so?
Yeah. I cannot see a situation where you're playing Oklahoma, right? And this guy is forced to line up on anyone that's 6'2". You're giving up a foot.
See your point.
Every time. I can't see that. You nickelback or strong safety, weak safety, what are you gonna put him at? It's a mismatch every time out there.
Well, he's too small, you think, for defensive back, but Trayvon Mooring Woodard is just the right size.
Okay, that's
6'2", 190.
Yeah, no, that's ideal. That's ideal. Where are they going to put him at? Safety? You can put him
at corner? I'm thinking.
I just can't wait to see his name on the back of a jersey.
It'll probably just say Morig.
It'll probably say M.Woodard.
No, it'll just probably just be the first one. A lot of those guys that had the hyphens, they just went with the first of the hyphen.
Well, that's boring.
Not the second. I'm just telling you how it goes, man.
I didn't know that.
But yeah, this is a guy super athletic. Played a lot of corner in high school. I could see them using him at corner against these big receivers in the Big 12. I think he's more fitted to be a free safety or a weak safety at 6'2", 190. Gives you some more size on the especially at free safety where we've had some smaller guys throughout the years. I'm thinking not just Nico Small, but Elijah Olabode was a smaller guy. Johnny Fobbs was a smaller guy at free safety.
You're going old school on these guys.
So, well, I mean,
I had class with Elijah Olabode.
Did you?
One class. It was like a senior seminar. It was like a freshman level class. We took it seniors.
But he okay. But he was. I mean, he fit that. So
it was literally learning how to study. It was literally a freshman psychology class. We took as seniors. It was literally learn how to study so you're more successful. It was me and like three other seniors and then a bunch of freshmen who were freaking out.
So, and you were easy. Like, guys, don't worry. Don't
well, no, worry. They can work it wherever they want.
Everything's fine.
Yeah.
All right, here's the guy that you found, the diamond in the rough.
Hadari Caesar, baby, For Monroe, Richwood High School. Yeah, I don't know if I want to put my flag on this guy yet.
Want to plant the flag on Caesar?
No, because like I did that with Vernon Scott, and I'm a little gun shy. But I think Caesar's going to be good. But Vernon Scott's a quality special teams guy. That's right. The thing, though. Like,
and that's the thing. He's getting reps. He's getting reps. Right. And for Patterson, that shows that you're already in his good graces.
Yeah.
You got to get special teams first. Vernon Scott still could be a guy who's a starter a year or two from now.
Yeah, he can, right?
Right.
Believe in me.
Doesn't matter if he's an All-American as a senior. It worked, right?
Darn right.
So, Hadari Caesar, 5'11", 175.
Thanks for building my confidence back up.
Corner.
I think corner,
especially after
another super fast guy.
After Eddie Smith decommitted, I think they felt comfortable.
Did he run up a Bama?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think, I know. So do good. You want to play or no?
Yeah.
Or is he just way better than we thought he was?
I think he's really good. He was probably going to be my guy. Oh, well. Sad day.
Hadari Caesar's 5'11", 175. I think he's a corner.
Yeah, I'm in
on
that.
That's what he does.
Dude,
and return
he's
kicks.
Fast. He will return kicks.
McCauley.
Okay. I think he's definitely going to. Wasn't McCoy more of like a hitter though?
No. Well, he was fast.
Can he lay some lumber?
He could lay some lumber on you. He'd also, if you kicked it to him, he housed it.
Oh, that's also true.
He leads the. I think he's got the all-time TC record for kick return touchdowns with 3. Greg McCoy.
Really?
I believe so.
Turpin hadn't done that. Does White
kick returns? Kick returns.
Catalan has 1.
Catalan had two.
Yeah.
No, it's. I think McCoy had 3, and there's like 10 guys who had 2.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Such an obscure stat, but okay.
Well, he was an All-American kick returner, Greg McCoy was. Yes, right. I could see Caesar being that guy.
All right. I'm in.
And, all right, we're down to the last guy. The last.
This is it?
This is it, man.
Wow.
This is
maybe the highest rated guy in this class?
Because we started off with offense with our highest guy. We're going to end with our highest rated defensive guy.
Book in this.
Atanza Vongor.
Monster. All-American safety. He's going to be amazing.
TJ Johnson.
I'm in on that.
Level good. 6'1", 200 pounds.
0% body fat, roughly. Yeah. Roughly 0% body fat.
I think this is a 3-year starter at free safety. And this is a guy I think plays this year, too. Even though he won't be here till the fall, I think he's that good. Like he comes in, he's not playing week one,
but I think he's a guy that will get some reps.
We'll
this
see
year.
Him on
he's
special
so
teams.
Good.
We'll see him in the rotation.
What's wrong with you?
It's Thursday.
It's
Thursday. You're smelling hamburgers. I'm mispronouncing. It was that middle school that was here.
Probably mess with your head.
I had a middle school come in, 13 kids that I gave a tour to earlier.
What's the quote on Vongor?
Oh, let's see.
As you change the thing, this guy will be a first-round draft pick. He's amazing.
Atanza is a physical and athletic safety who plays strong in run support with the ability to cover in space. That's by Zarnell Fitch. Which means we can put him anywhere.
Yeah. No, for real. They don't have a spot for him yet. Insert a safety spot. And he's going to do it. He's going
to
do it well.
Would it be too crazy to say he could probably play corner?
No. I could see him.
I don't know if he's straight-line speed fast enough, but like – physical enough that he jams some guys off the line and ties them up enough.
He's got to be better than, like, again, we love Nick Orr, but Nick Orr could do it all. And Vongor's just a better, more athletic Nick Orr, right?
That's probably not a bad assessment.
Right, that's why we kind of we believe. Like, again, I trusted Nick Orr in 2015 as, like, the number 2 corner. I had no problem with him putting him at, or 1, really, when Ranthony went down.
Right.
I was all in on putting him at corner, but Vongor is that. Like, he's that. He's just a Swiss Army knife, if you will.
Yes.
For the defensive backfield.
So we got the headliners from the offensive sides, Rogers. On the defensive sides, Vongor. We've talked about this over and over again, but if you had to pick, let's pick one guy who you think is an immediate impact guy. It could be just special teams, but somebody who gets on the field and a name you're going to get used to this fall, and then a guy who you think is going to be an absolute stud by the end.
Man, it's so hard to – so now, like, I want to pick a return guy. Like, my immediate head said Darius Davis as a return guy, but at the same time, I think they have too many guys that return kicks now.
Look
like
at the depth you
team.
Already have, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's too much of a cop to say Anthony McKinney, right? Like, it's too much of a, like, he's got to be the guy, right? Is it too much of a cop-out?
He can be the guy you take as your immediate impact.
All right, he's my immediate impact because it has to be. If this team's going to be good, he has to be good.
Okay.
Great.
And then your guy that by the end where you're going, man, that was amazing we even got that guy.
Amazing we even got that guy. I mean, it's TaVaylon Tunn. Is that too easy to say, too?
That one's too easy.
Yeah,
that's
too easy. go a little deeper.
Because we
than
do
that.
Think he's going to be really
I'll
good.
I'll go with Jacoby Simpson then. Because I think the more I think about him and watch his tape and stuff, I like him. He was pretty much down to TCU and Tech and really also like a smart kid, too. He's one of the guys I've talked to the most in this class. So he really thought about his decision, took it like down to the wire. I'll go with him. At the end of the day, like, man, how did we get him in fast forward in 4 years
right.
when he's pushing Traven Howard's tackle record? Like,
right, when you're looking back at full body of work and you're going, man, I can't believe he almost picked Tech.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
And you're going to be saying his only big offers were TCU and Tech.
Right.
And you're going, what did all these other schools mm-hmm. not see?
Was it Arkansas? Was that the third one, I think, for him? He also visited?
Might have been.
I think so.
Might have been. All right, for me, I think I'm going to go immediate impact guy that I think – just gets on the field. It's a toss-up between O'Shawn Mathis or John Stevens.
Yeah, I thought I was saying O'Shawn Mathis, so I knew you'd go him.
I'm going to go Stevens, man. Yeah.
You know me, I'm still skeptical.
I'm going to go John Stevens. Well, the cop-out for me would be Tay Barber.
Yeah.
Like, I think he and Hunt both
play. You do love Tay Barber.
Play. So I'm going to go with a guy that you're going to get used to his name. I'm going to say John Stevens Jr. I think he's a guy that will make some impact because of his ability to play anywhere on the field, basically. I mean, this is a guy that was a all-conference receiver and defensive end. That's not a combination you usually hear.
No.
And he's still a guy that even you and I, like we've talked to some of these coaches, they all say they want him at a different position. Like every coach on this team wants John Stevens to be a part of his position group.
Right.
Fitch wants him at end.
Oh,
Glasgow wants him at defensive back. You know, Looper and them want him at receiver. He's just a guy that I think he will just get on the field. And then the guy I'm going to look at the end, and you're going to be like, man, that guy was really something special. Not named Barber, Hunt, or Rogers
right.
on the offensive
those
side.
Those are the cop-outs. We can't
yes, those are the cop-outs. Those are the guys you expect to do some. The one that I think is going to surprise a lot of people on the offensive, or I guess just impact, maybe not even just an offensive guy, is...
say a name.
Oh, man, it's so hard to...
right? I ended up picking Jacoby Simpson as my guy. You got to... It's tough to think about.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go... Man.
Man, you
oh, man,
have no
oh,
idea,
man,
right?
Man, oh, man. Yeah, I'm gonna go O'Shawn Mathis at end.
Yeah, I figured that.
O'Shawn Mathis. I think by the end of this, we're gonna be looking at his senior years like we did with some of the Schobles and Jerry Hughes and those types of guys, where
wow.
you're talking, you know, 12, 13 sacks their senior year. Like this is a guy I think has that same type of ability to get on the field. He's going to work. He's going to keep getting better. His junior year, he's going to have a good year like Banigou did this last year and Jerry Hughes did junior year. And then the senior year is when you're like, first-round talent.
Yeah.
Like, locked down, he's first-round pick guy. That's what I see O'Shawn Mathis as.
I'm in on this.
Okay. Well, there's your 2018. That's it. All 22 guys.
Yeah, I think we got them all.
We got them all. Five linemen, six wide receivers, maybe.
Yeah,
depending
on
where
they shake. It could be 10. It could be 4. I don't know. It doesn't. That's so fluid with the athletes. So.
Two defensive linemen, two linebackers, a handful of safeties, and maybe a corner or two, depending on where they shake out.
Yeah.
But yes, a very athletic, top to bottom. Very excited. It's going to be a fun one. We'll see how many of these guys. Last year, we made some predictions on who we thought would. We went more in depth with who we think are going to actually play. We're going to save that till we get to fall camp.
Oh,
let's get through
Twitter
the spring.
Questions about that.
Oh, Twitter questions.
I'm just saying,
think about
like some of them ask like who do you think is going to play? So
okay, well let's do that.
Well, first let's go with Bayou City Frog, who just wants to know how Baylor and Texas had a good recruiting class despite being terrible.
I think people really like Matt Rhule. I think he relates to the kids and the parents really well. But all the Colts situation scares me if I'm a Baylor commit right now.
Oh, they said cult, like C-U-L-T about Baylor anyway. Also fits.
Yes, it does.
I think Texas is just – the brand is always going to be good, you know, even if the team is terrible. And Baylor, yeah, Rhule's doing the right thing. They still have cool facilities, I guess.
It's still
like,
a really good
like
school.
Toilets, it is still a good school. So there you go. Jacob at JD Sailors, I've never played the game at a high school level, so tell me, is this bad? And he included a graphic of Texas Tech's college football recruiting classes from 15 through 18, which ranked 32nd, 44th, 49th, and then 71st. Like you said, the worst among Power Five.
I think the luster has worn off of the Tech.
Of old Clifford?
Yeah. I think a lot of if you're a defensive guy, you haven't wanted to go to Tech because you get made fun of every week. And if you're an offensive guy, they're not putting up the numbers like they used to. Really, the only guy that's been successful, the only position group that's been successful is quarterback. They're not pumping receivers out anymore.
But even that, that's just Mahomes, who's like a generation talent.
Yes.
Like, Graham Harrell wasn't great in the NFL. He was Aaron Rodgers' backup.
Yeah, but they would be all conference type quarterbacks, and they would be a good top 25 level team. And now it's like, if you're a running back and you're going to Tech, you're going there to die. Like, why do you want to do that? They used to pump out some offensive linemen, but that's even kind of slowed down.
Center Jack Anderson's pretty good.
Yes.
But yeah.
But. And he was a TCU offer last year.
Yeah, but he committed to Tech really early on. So,
I think it's just some of the luster's worn off of the Tech things. They made that mistake when they fired Leach.
Yep. Jared Shelton at Big Old Burrito One.
That's a good one.
Who do you think the biggest surprise of this class? So, I don't know if that's mean surprise that we got, or who's going to be the guy that surprises us the most in the future.
Biggest surprise of the class surprise for the signing day and everything was probably us getting Ardarius Washington.
Yeah, we kind of felt like that was going to happen.
But for most people, because we're insiders.
Right. I think the fact that you were able to, I don't know, like none of these guys really surprised me. Like maybe the fact that you actually got Anthony McKinney like the day after he visited Oklahoma was a bit of a surprise.
Or the fact that you recruited Louisiana so well.
Yeah.
That could be a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, they've always kind of recruited Louisiana well, but never this in depth. I mean, looking at this, they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's only 5 guys from Louisiana? It felt like a lot more, right?
Well, there were more.
Oh, that's true. Where did your boy Jamar Chase wind up? LSU?
LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chase ended up at LSU. Brulé ended up at Mississippi State. Yeah. And Eddie Smith at Alabama.
Would have liked them. Slade Bolden at Bama, too. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
Golly jeepers. Pluto Brown at Chemical Toilet. Top 5 guys to get the most playing time in 2018.
Ooh, top 5.
That's a lot of guys to get playing time
Vongor.
In 2018. Vongor, we think, plays.
Mathis.
Franklin.
Franklin. Vongor, Mathis, Franklin, Stevens.
Yeah, I kind of want to say Darius Davis again for some reason.
Okay, Davis.
He keeps popping in my head.
That's fine.
Maybe I should make him as my guy because he keeps clinging on to
just something about him.
Something about him. Does Rodgers redshirt? We think 1,000,000%. Yes. He goes, bet he doesn't, but I think he should. It gives 2 years between him and Sean Robinson, lets him heal, lets him learn, and we'll have a decent backup in GM already in Grayson Mielstein. I don't know if he's a decent backup, but
we'll see in the spring game.
we'll find out.
See if he's running with the twos or the threes.
Yeah, probably threes. Rodgers, he should redshirt. Yeah, it just makes too much sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
First offensive and first defensive player in the 18 class to earn all Big 12.
Ooh. See, that's kind of in between what we just talked
about.
Right, because we talked about like an impact guy and then at the end, but who could be the first all-conference guy?
I mean, I think McKinney's going to play a lot this year. I keep going back to this guy. If he's terrible.
But he's JUCO guy, so it's a little different.
But he can still be newcomer of the year.
Right.
If he's bad, I might cry. Like, if he's just not good, I might be really sad.
Like, if he comes in and he's just a bum.
Because I have said every time that he has to be great. And I thought that way about Matt Pryor, too, and he was not, like, as amazing as I thought.
That way about Wes Harris, but it's still early.
Well, yeah, he hasn't played yet.
Redshirted,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that could be for the best, because look at Ross Blacklock.
Yeah.
Who am I going to pick? First all-Big 12 performer, I'm going to go with...
I mean, probably Vongor, right?
I was thinking Vongor or Hunt.
Well, he said offense and defense, so you can say
offense.
Both.
I would say both.
Why not both? Because Hunt could easily win Freshman of the Year or
like
Newcomer
Rager
of the
did,
Year.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't surprise any of us. Jacob at JD Sailors, who in this class do you believe is our champion in life?
TaVaylence Hunt.
Yeah, that's probably too easy to say. Man, we love ourselves with TaVaylence Hunt, huh?
Or Justin Rogers. Or Darius Davis does a lot of really good stuff. And
all these guys we've mentioned a dozen times already, we think are really good kids. So.
And we wouldn't mention a guy if we thought he was a scumbag.
No.
I don't think there is any in this class.
Right, I don't
just
think
saying.
There is any either. At Yell MK, since he didn't get any on Tuesday, is this a top five recruiting class in the nation of your heart? These are the guys we know the best.
I think if you factored in the things that TCU factors in when they recruit guys, talking about character and family values and things like that, yeah, this is. Because they not only got really talented guys, but they got guys who are willing to come in here and work. And I don't think there's ego guys in this class. Like, even when we talk about Rogers and Vongor and all them, they're not ego guys. They're just talented guys that outwork other guys. So, yeah, I'll give it a top five.
Yeah. If you had to recruit two or three restaurants to come to Forth that are not currently located here, what would they be, and what's your sales pitch?
The Freddy's frozen custard place that's down in Waco. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
They have really good custard. It's like a little
what
burger
about
place.
Curly's?
Curly's isn't that good, man.
Whoa. Shots fired. I haven't been there in a long time. I'm assuming.
I mean, the custard's all right, but the food is garbage.
Oh, I don't think I've ever eaten food there.
Well, that's
there.
Why. Okay. Yeah, this place has like their burgers. It's kind of like a Steak and Shake type ground up steak burger, which wasn't bad, but the custard is amazing. We need one of those.
I've heard of, is it Shake Shack that's really good?
Yeah.
That people love and wait in line forever for? Yeah.
But they said the same thing about In-N-Out Burger, so.
And then speaking of that same vein, what about White Castle?
I'd be okay with a White Castle.
Have you been
to
a White Castle?
I've never been to a White Castle. I went to
I've had the frozen burgers before.
I went to
seen the movie.
I went to a Beefers.
I don't know what that is.
It was like a really, really dirty, nasty Hardee's or Carl's Jr.
It's like an Oma's Jiffy Burger.
Yeah. I actually
don't even know what that is.
Nope.
You just said, yeah.
Oh, the Omaha Jiffy thing place?
Oma's Jiffy Burger.
Oma's Jiffy Burger?
Yeah, it's all in Waxahachie. Well, actually, it's in Midlothian now. They have two of them. They've expanded.
Okay.
I guarantee you Jalen Rager and Kennedy Snell know about Oma's Jiffy Burger.
Okay.
So.
Sure.
Fun for whatever
so
that's
So those
worth.
Are the three things you want?
I'm trying to think, Dunkin' Donuts? Do people like Dunkin' Donuts?
Eh.
Man. We're just thinking of big chains that just happen to not be here. Like, I can't think of like a five-star restaurant somewhere that
we're thinking about what we can afford to eat.
Right. Like, I've seen some stuff on like the Food Network. Man, that looks really good. Probably can't afford to go there.
I'm going to Eddie V's on Saturday.
There you go. Is this it's Valentine's?
Yeah, it'll be our early Valentine's.
Early Valentine's. There you go. That's good. Rank the top breakfast meats between bacon, ham/Canadian bacon, sausage link, sausage patty, T-bone steak, and miscellaneous.
Well, you're leaving, first off, for breakfast meat, you left off chorizo.
Oh, that's a solid choice.
I would take chorizo over sausage link 100 times out of 100. Sausage links are disgusting.
What about a maple sausage link?
They always have that one gristly piece in it. At some point in a sausage link, there's one piece where you think you broke your tooth.
Man, you've had a lot of sausage links, it sounds like. It's a fun drop. I don't know. Like, it doesn't really make sense for anything.
I just cut off the part and you're just like, you've had a lot of sausage.
Link sounds like.
Sausage patty one.
That's and number one for you?
Sausage patty one.
Over bacon.
Yes. Sausage patty.
Get out here to the
Because I put bacon not just as a, it's never like a go-to breakfast meat. I feel like it's almost an extra you put with something.
I'm all in on bacon.
Sausage patty Canadian bacon/ham.
But I never have that for breakfast.
Like, if you have
that's a go-to pizza topping.
See, no, you go ham steak, like a thicker, like a
ham
quarter
steak.
Quarter cut thick ham steak for breakfast with some scrambled eggs.
I have a fun story about ham steaks.
With maybe a little chorizo in them and the little salsa.
Chorizo, you're just getting a lot of meat in your mouth.
You did that one on purpose. Okay, that's all I got
for this.
That's
it. Yeah, let's just leave that
that's
one.
That's it.
That's it. We're done now.
Well, I hope you enjoyed your signing day / breakfast meats podcast.
Spectacular.
Now I want a frozen custard and a hamburger. You were smelling hamburgers earlier.
You want to go eat lunch?
Yeah, let's go eat lunch.
All right.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. We're going to go grab some lunch. Hopefully we didn't, Chris Palomera, we didn't talk over each other today. So I hope you enjoyed this.
I did see that. And I did think about that a couple times when I started to do that. I'm sure that was directed at me.
We did a bad job the other day. We did.
Did we? Yeah. I didn't listen to it again.
I mean, the podcast as a whole was still good, but we rambled way
too
much.
Except for the Mitch part.
He's still better than Hunter.
I mean, easily. We waved at Hunter a minute ago as he walked by.
All right, we'll be
National
back.
National Signing Day Spectacular done. Go Frogs. See y'all Tuesday. We can talk a little basketball.
Baseball, too.
Oh, we got a new 2019 commit last night, by the way. Did you see that?
Yeah, but this is the signing day. We'll save that for
right,
Tuesday.
Right, I get it. But it's just funny to think
offensive
about that.
Offensive
lineman. It's never done. Yeah, it's not done.
No, it's constant here. All right, we'll be
Jimmy
back on.
Jimmy G has signed a five-year, $137 million deal.
For the 49ers?
For the 49ers.
Nice. All right.
What does that break down to annually?
I don't know. I'm not math.
25.2?
Again.
Roughly?
Why?
I did that in my head. I'm pretty good about that.
No.
Well, it's 27.4.
You're from a family of accountants. I'd hope you'd be somewhat decent at
math. I'm the least accountable person there.
Oh, the puns just keep a flowing.
Yep, that's what I do. At Billy Wessels, at TCU underscore rivals.
At GEOFFREY_CRAIG. We'll see you on Tuesday. Purple Menace Podcast.